Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, you're very familiar with the second verse, I believe. The Bible says in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Now, I heard a fellow on the radio quote this verse of Scripture out of a modern translation, and the word sincere was changed to the word pure. And, you know, it made me think of something. I wasn't really sure what the word sincere means. I've quoted this verse many times, encouraging people to get in the Bible, but I've never really thought, I've always thought about the milk of the word. Hadn't thought about the word sincere. And of course, when I heard the word sincere, I'm thinking of letters, "Sincerely Yours." And so tonight, what I'd like to talk to you about is this topic, sincerity. Sincerity. But before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you please tonight, help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to understand fully what we're looking at here in the Scripture. Help us to be very attentive to your words. May our minds, Father, grasp this topic and do so and understand it because of what your Holy Spirit is doing with your word in our lives. And may our hearts, Father, be receptive as you apply what we're learning tonight and are conscious of the way that you're changing our lives with the words of God. I ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, the word sincere, he says here, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." The word sincere means this. It has actually three definitions. First, it means this: without deceit or without pretense. We get the word pretend from pretense. Pretense is a false claim or a false profession. So to be sincere means to be without deceit or without pretense. Or without hypocrisy. It means to be truthful. It means to be straightforward. It means to be honest. The second definition of sincere is this. It means being the same in actual character as in outward appearance. That's really good. Being the same in actual character as in outward appearance. Genuine. Genuine. And the third definition is not adulterated. Not adulterated. It hasn't been changed or perverted in any way. Now, when you think about what he says here, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby," well, he's talking about something that's true and something that has not been adulterated, something that has not been corrupted or changed. The sincerity of God's Word. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at the sincerity of some things in the Bible, from the Bible. And the first thing, obviously, that we're going to look at is the sincerity of God's words. You know, when Peter says here, desire the sincere milk of the word, he is telling you that God's words are true. They are honest. They're genuine. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." I'm glad to know tonight when I'm holding this Bible in my hand, or you have it in your lap, or you take it home tonight and read it, or wake up in the morning and read it. You know what you're reading? You are reading the true words of God. I'm telling you. And they've been true from the beginning. Before they were ever recorded here, before they were ever even written by the men who penned these words, those words were already settled in heaven and they were already true. And God promised us in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, He would preserve those words. And tonight I stand here with great confidence that what I have here in this King James Bible are the words of God. And there's no doubt in my mind about it. They're true. They're true. Now, you know the beautiful thing about that? He says, desire the sincere milk of the word, right? All right, our daughter has a child. I don't know if y'all knew that. You'd never know it, would you? And Emma desires, since she desires milk regularly, and if you have any question about when that is, she lets you know. Sometimes so loud you can hear and you can hear back there in the nursery, right? But you know what? That milk that she takes gets inside of her. And when she was born, she was, around 6 pounds? And now she's around 12 pounds. So that milk is making a change in her life. She's growing with that milk. All right, the same principle is too. When you read this Bible and these words are sincere, the milk of these words gets inside of you and it changes you. You grow by this milk. And you know what happens? What God does with these words, if you will let Him, is that He will change your nature. He will change your character. I realize when you got saved, you're a new creature in Christ. I realize that. But when you get this word inside of you, you know what happens? You become the same in actual character as in outward appearance. You don't have to pretend to be the Christian you want everybody to believe that you are. You get to start being the Christian that you are because every one of us started in the same place, and you let that word get in there and change your life so that what's on the inside is the same thing that's on the outside, and what's on the outside is the same thing that's on the inside. And God does that with His words. And it never stops. You continue to grow. That's the sincerity of God's words. Now, because God's words are sincere, therefore the Lord demands other things in our lives to be sincere. And we're going to look at those tonight. We've seen the sincerity of God's words. I'd like you to look now in Titus chapter 2 at verses 7 and 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. At the sincerity, the demand for God in our life is the sincerity of our doctrine, of our doctrine. His words are sincere, so He demands of us the sincerity of our doctrine. Titus chapter 2, look at verses 7 and 8. We're in the middle of a context. He says here in verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Watch it. In your doctrine, you are to show sincerity. Sincerity. Well, now the words of God are pure words. The words of God are true words. And so when you get your doctrine from the words of God, your doctrine's going to be sincere. You know, when you hear people who use a Bible and they've come up with a perverted doctrine, they didn't get that doctrine from the words of God. They got that from somebody who used the words of God to teach them a doctrine that's not so. You know, the funny thing about this Bible is that if you just pick it up and begin to read it as if you've never heard anything, nobody ever taught you anything, nothing to unwind, whatever. You just pick it up in Genesis and start reading. Read all the way to the book of Revelation. Start back over again. Read all the way to the book of Revelation. Start back over again. And don't even form any doctrine. Just read it. And read it about 5 times. And somebody will come to you and say, well, what do you believe about the doctrine of eternal security? You know what you'd say? I believe once you get saved, you're always saved. And why would you believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. See? All that the Father giveth to me, come to me, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Did I say that right? Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. my Father, which is greater than me, blah, blah, blah. Nobody should be able to pluck him out of his hand. Amen. Blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't get confused or hung up on, well, what about that verse over there? If I didn't know about that verse over there, but I could see these verses right here showing me that once I'm in Christ and I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ and I am now a member of His flesh and of His bones and we've been raised together to sit in heavenly places together in Christ Jesus, I'd say, you know what? I don't know enough about that, but when God shows me, I'll know about that doctrine too. You see how that is? But the funny thing is, people get this, and they hadn't even read Genesis yet, and they already want to know about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church or whether the church is going through the tribulation. That's an odd thing. Odd thing. God says, I want you to be sincere in your doctrine. Now listen, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means when you're reading it, God's teaching you. He's inspiring it to you while you read it. I certainly believe everything in here is God's words. But the beauty is the Holy Spirit's telling you what He said while you're reading it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, then that tells me that if the Holy Spirit is teaching you what that Bible says, your doctrine's going to be straight. Because the Word of God is profitable, Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Paul wrote a couple of letters to Timothy, and in one of those letters he says to him, he said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So while you're studying the Bible, you ought to pay attention to the doctrine of the Bible. And then he tells Timothy, he says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Talking to Brother David right before the service today, and he said that he had cut some mesquite and it was out there in the front, and somebody came by and wanted to know what he was going to do with it. He said, well, I'm trying to get rid of it. And she said, well, I want it. I'm a prepper. And that took me for a second. I know what now he's talking about. A prepper is somebody that knows that bad things are fixing to happen and I need wood so I can cook. That's a prepper. You know, they got food and wood and water and all that. And you want to know who those people are so when the bad time comes, you can go over there and steal their food. In Jesus' name, of course. Okay. So we got one of them identified, amen. And he said, well, what are you doing that for? She said, well, you know, we're going through the tribulation. I didn't always believe that, but now I do, she says. You know what happened? She didn't take heed to that doctrine. She didn't take heed to that doctrine. You know, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verses 3 and 4. The Bible says about what we're doing here tonight, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is here, by the way. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now let me tell you something. If the world is turning away from doctrine, and we have to give attendance to doctrine, and we have to take heed to the doctrine, and the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, let me tell you something. We need to be faithful to the doctrine of the Bible regardless of what the rest of the world wants to do. We don't need to cut out the doctrine so we can get a bigger crowd. If there are only a few people that want the doctrine, let's be faithful to that, praise God. So, because of the sincerity of God's words, God demands the sincerity of our doctrine. He wants it to be true. He wants it to be without deceit, without hypocrisy, genuine, not adulterated. Now let's look at another one. Then this flows right on the heels of what we've just said. He also expects the sincerity of our preaching. Look at 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, there are people, honestly, there are people today who are preachers who know the doctrine of the Word of God, but they won't preach the doctrine of the Word of God because they will lose half their congregations if they do. So they hold back on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 17. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. There you go. You know what corrupted word of God is? That's a word of God that's no longer sincere. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Speak we in Christ. He's saying, when I open my mouth and talk about what the Lord says, I'm going to give it to you straight. That's what sincere means, straightforward. I'm going to give it to you honestly. I'm not going to change it or deceive you with it. You're going to get the unadulterated, genuine Word of God. Did they always like it? No, not really. I had a man tell me one time, he said, this is a hard church to come to. I said, really? Why is that? He said, too much conviction. Well, amen. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. You want it, you know, I like black coffee. I don't want it cut with anything. Amen. Yeah. Some of you guys like it all, you know, doctored up and all that. Hey, that's good. That's good. I got that too. But if I'm going to drink it, I want the, you know. Amen. Sincere. Sincere. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. In other words, I don't want somebody to tone down the words of God just so they'll be more palatable. If I need a good smack in the nose from the Word of God, then that's what I need. All right, Philippians chapter 1. Look what Paul says here. He got locked up in verse 14. Many of the brethren, Philippians 1:14, many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, this got them charged up. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. You see it? Not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, that's not sincerely, or in truth, that is sincerely, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. You know what he's saying? I'll take it any way we can get it, but I'd rather have it in truth. When you come here, would you really like somebody to come up here with a lot of smiles and a lot of fandango and make you feel good? Or do you want somebody to give it to you straight? That's what he's telling us to do. The sincerity of our preaching. He said, my words are pure, my doctrine's pure, I want your preaching to be pure. And it's not like that today. Because a lot of preachers know that they won't endure sound doctrine, so they soften the message and change the message. May I tell you something? If we veer in preaching over here in order to appeal to those that have itching ears, we'll never be able to go back. We've lost it. We have to hold to it with all that we've got. All right, and then another thing here is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, since my words are sincere, I want your doctrine sincere, I want your preaching sincere, and I'll tell you, he says, I want something else sincere. I want your love sincere. That's what he says. Look here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, you guys know what 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are about. They're often preached at missions conferences. These two chapters here are about how Paul is going over to Corinth. They said a year before he wrote this letter that they were going to give to the poor saints down there in Jerusalem. Their commitment to do so encouraged other churches to get involved. The churches in Macedonia got involved, and they got involved while they were in a great trial of affliction and in deep poverty. But Paul saw God do a miraculous work amongst them in that they had an abundance of joy and abounded in the riches of their liberality. And he goes, that is an awesome testimony. So he's coming down there to Corinth now. They're going to go down there and pick up this bounty, this offering that they are to have collected. And he said, you know what I'm going to do that for? To prove the sincerity of your love. If you love him, If you really love him, then you'll be able to give to him. Now, in another place, in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 24, look what he says. As he closes the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says this in Ephesians 6:24, "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Do you suppose there are some folks that say they love the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not in sincerity? Why would that be? The reason that that would be is it's easy to say, "I love the Lord." It's easy to sing a chorus with several thousand people, wave your hands back and forth, roll your eyes back in your head, turn the lights down low, get a couple of cheerleaders up there and say, "I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord," and feel good about it. Have you ever said, have you ever told your wife you love her when you didn't really feel like it? I mean, it's easy to say is what I'm trying to say. I've never done that. I just want you to know, if I've ever said it, I really meant it. In sincerity and truth, amen. Boy, after 36 years of marriage, you got to know, guys, we've been in the doghouse sometimes, haven't we? And we're reaching for anything, right? And if "I love you" gets you back in the house, you'll say it. I'm telling you, boy, whatever it takes, amen. But you know, I want to ask you a question. How about that widow that gave those two mites that was all of her living? How do you think she felt about the Lord? You believe she really loved him? Yeah. This message tonight is not on giving, but I want to ask you something. Based on your giving, that's between you and the Lord. I don't know what it is, but based on your giving, can God tell from your giving how much you love him? Because that's what Paul said. Just keep that in mind. Y'all think about that. You know what he says over there in 1 John? I'm talking about John says over there in 1 John. He says, "Hey guys, there are a bunch of you talk about how much you love God, and you guys aren't getting along very well." He said, let me put you another test out there. I can tell whether or not you love God by how much you love the brethren. Because if you tell me you love God, but you don't love the brethren, you don't love God. But if you tell me you love God and you love the brethren, he said, "You know something? I'm inclined to believe you, because those are God's children." So check your own heart about that. Listen, God knows us better than anybody in the universe. And if we say we love him, but our actual character doesn't match our outward profession, we can do some improving there. Because he wants sincere love. All right, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. How do you like this? Get a missionary to speak first and the preacher just go right through that message. Isn't that great? You're loving it, aren't you, Doyle? Amen, boy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul starts out in this talking about the ministry of consolation. That is, we've suffered and the Lord's given his grace to us and boy, he's really helped us. Now you're suffering and we're going to come and minister that same consolation we've received to you. Then he also says in verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Verse 12, here it is. "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word." Now, you have to remember every time you read that word conversation in the Bible that it's more than just you talking to somebody and having a conversation with them. Conversation, when it's used like that in the Bible, has to do with all of what you're doing. It has to do with your behavior. And you know that because in conversation we have words, and in conversation we have body language. Right? So what he's talking about here when he talks about the testimony of our conscience, But by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world much more abundantly to you word. And that behavior, that conversation, is in simplicity and godly sincerity. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the sincerity of our testimony. The sincerity of our testimony. He uses that same expression in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, if you want to see it. He's praying for the church in Philippi in verse 9. And watch what he says in verses 9 and 10 of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent. Here it is. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know what he wants? He wants a testimony that matches a profession. A testimony of our conversation, a testimony of our life, of our behavior, that is not in deceit, that is not in pretense, that is not in hypocrisy, but is honest and real. You know what he's doing? You know what he's basically saying? He's saying that our testimony ought to be the same in church as it is in the car on the way to church, as it is in the car on the way home, as it is in the home, as it is in the office, as it is everywhere. You know, many of us lived a while before we got saved. We have some worldly experience. And those of us who have had worldly experience have heard things and done things and said things that we don't even like to remember and surely don't want to talk about today. Okay? When a person first gets saved and that sincere milk of the Word is starting to go in there, you know what? They don't really change very much. They're a lot better behaved in church than they are outside of church. And the truth of the matter is, we all were. You come into church and the last thing in the world you would ever do in that 4 years is tell a dirty joke. You just wouldn't do it. But if you were used to telling that when you were, before you got saved at work, and you're at work, you know, 2 weeks after you get saved, and a guy comes in and says, "Hey man, did you hear the one about?" You're all ears, and not only are you ready to laugh when he finishes the punchline, you're ready to tell him one that you told. You say, "Well, that's not right." Yeah, but the truth of the matter is, that's still your character. Hadn't changed very much. I'm looking over here at Bobby, who's a song leader now, and when Bobby got saved in the metal building, not long after we were there, we moved into that building February of 2001. What'd you get saved? May of 2001 or something like that? Huh? April of 2001? Listen, if you are mad about boom, bah, boom, boom, bah, boom, boom, when you're driving your vehicle, he's to blame. He used to sell those things, right? He said, "Welder, you said there are some things about our past we don't want people to know." And you know, I would go over there where his shop was. We got together a few times and so forth. I never said anything to him about changing that. But you know what started happening? That preaching got in there, that teaching got in there, that sincere milk of the Word got in there. And after a little while, he was like, "You know something? I can't do this anymore." And then he got out of that business and went to work at another place. That was his business. He's now working as an employee for somebody else, so he wouldn't have to do that stuff anymore. That's a big change. And then, while he's here and he's looking for people that can sing, and he recruits Bobby in to sing in the quartet, tenor. He can't even sing melody. Right? And he was learning. And now, 15 years later, he's the song leader. Let me tell you something. You do not have to worry about going to Bobby's house tonight and sitting outside of his driveway and with him in his car with a boombox in the trunk. You don't have to worry about that. You say, "Why is that?" Because now the testimony matches the profession. But it took some time. And the same is true of us. If your testimony doesn't quite line up with the way it looks in here, and you hadn't been saved all that long, listen, don't fret. Get more of that sincere milk of the Word inside of there. Get under some more of this sincere doctrine and some more of this sincere preaching, and the Lord will change that for you. And in time, one of these days, somebody will come in there to tell you one of those old stories you should tell. And not only will you not laugh when he gets to the punchline, you'll have him out of your office before he ever gets to the punchline. Because you'll say, I don't want to hear that. And God forbids you'd ever tell him one of those stories. You know what? It just gets in you, and what happens is your testimony matches your profession. The inside looks like the outside, and the outside looks like the inside. It's the sincerity of your testimony. And it is a place where God wants us to go. It is a place where God will get us through sincere love, sincere doctrine, sincere preaching. And you won't have to worry about being a Pharisee. Now, for some of you that haven't been saved that long and you're faking it when you're in here, let me just take my hat off to you and say, I appreciate you doing that. But don't fake it for long. I'm not an adherent to fake it till you make it. I'm not an adherent to that. What I'm saying is you've at least got enough respect for the people around you that you leave some of that stuff at home until God changes you. It's good. All right, so what was it? There's one more thing, and then we're done. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We get here to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 if we stay with the other things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you know what's going on in the first part of that book. There's some bad stuff going on in verse 1. And in verse 2, Paul says to the church, you're puffed up. You may I tell you something? You know what's happened with the megachurch movement? They're puffed up. They got these kind of things going on. Not this particular sin, but things that ought not to be in church going on. And they're like, hey, man, we can handle all this. Bigger crowd. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Here it is, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice. What is malice? It is intentionally doing something unlawful. And they were intentionally allowing this thing to go on in the church. That's malice. Not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know what he expects from us, folks? The sincerity of our church. He expects us to protect these things concerning the sincerity of his words, the sincerity of our love, the sincerity of our preaching, the sincerity of our doctrine, the sincerity of our testimony as a church by keeping sin out the door. And that means from time to time we got to stand up here and beat it to death to keep it away. To keep it away. Why? Because when you allow a little leaven in, it leavens the whole church. If we've ever had to come down hard on anybody concerning something in their life, you know, I'll tell you what, honestly, when people start to stray from this word and do bad things, they usually take themselves out. Because they know that it doesn't belong here and they don't belong here. I had a fellow call me yesterday and he says, hey, you know what? He said, I'm getting married and I want you to know that. And he said, and I didn't invite you to the wedding because there's alcohol here and it's a bad things here, and I knew you didn't want to be around it. But I want you to know that I'm getting married. They take themselves out. And they know that that kind of stuff doesn't belong in here. You see that? Now, sometimes when people get confused about that and they don't know that kind of stuff doesn't belong in here, the Lord says you got to move it or you'll ruin the whole church. And that's a hard thing to do from time to time, but he says you got to do it. And listen, listen, that means keeping out adulterated music. That means keeping out a watered down gospel, just so you can report more people getting saved. I liked your testimony. That's when I repented of my sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as my Savior. You got to deal harshly with sin. Don't stray to the modern Bibles. Don't follow a perverted doctrine and all those other things. Because if you do, the church becomes insincere. It might be very appealing to the world. It's not going to be very appealing to God. And he says, what I want is I want an unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I don't want you allowing things going on amongst you that I don't want going on. And that's really good. That's really good. Otherwise, you're going to be hypocritical, pretending that you're closer to God than we really are. Have you ever lived any period of your life pretending to be something that you're not? It's not a trick question. The answer is yes, you have. We all have to some extent at some point in our lives. And God says, you know what? That game is over. We don't want to do that anymore. Get the good stuff on the inside. Let it manifest itself in your doctrine, in your preaching, in your love, in your testimony, and in your church. God would be happy with that. Amen? Father, thank you today for an opportunity to find out what it really means to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby, and what that really does and how that affects our lives from everything that's on the inside of us to everything that's on the outside of us. God, may your word continue to have its perfect work in our lives, that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. For we ask you to do it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.